Dios me ha dado la gracia de compartir en muchas partes del mundo. Pero ni uno de los pastores han tenido el detalle de poner el mejor vino aquí. ¡Wow! Ni en mi iglesia me ponen una coca cero. Hermana María, muchas gracias. Que el Señor te lo pague con tanta cosecha. Gloria a Dios. Bueno, es un milagro que yo esté aquí en Australia. El año pasado yo llegué al aeropuerto a comprar los boletos. No sabía que necesitaba visa. En mucha parte me meto y tengo la gracia de Dios y Dios me abre la puerta. Los australianos no quisieron. Me quedé con los boletos en la mano y no se me hizo posible venir para Australia.
So it became impossible for me to come last year.
Pero a través de esta cerrada la puerta se abrió otra.
But even through those closed doors got opened another.
Y estuve compartiendo en el país de Malasia.
And I was sharing in the country of Malaysia.
Una iglesia muy grande.
In a large church.
Llena de tantos chinos.
Full of lots of Chinese.
Estuvimos ministrando tres idiomas a la vez.
We were ministering even with a double
español,
translation. Spanish,
inglés,
English,
y chino.
And Chinese.
Wow, se me hizo un poco difícil.
It was a little bit difficult.
I'm
used to just one translation.
Pero eran tres traducciones.
But here we were going three.
Pero después me fui a Filipinas.
And I was in Philippines.
Y Filipina, en Manila, fuera de Manila.
And in Philippines, outside of Manila.
Tuvimos varias iglesias.
We ministered in several churches.
Hay iglesias que no hablan inglés.
And there are some of the people that don't speak English.
Y también fue en español.
So we also had Spanish, English, and Tagalog. Tagalog. But it was exciting. But as we came into this year, I asked the Lord, give me what your word is for this year 2018. And it was something interesting. That I had one of those dreams that you maybe have once a year. That you just go real deeply asleep. My wife and I are very busy in ministry. We've been planting many churches. We visit different churches and ministry, training and school of ministry and so on. But that day, in the beginning of the year, I had a deep sleep and I had a dream that impacted my life. And I woke up and I couldn't remember the dream. But I know I was impacted. But the last thing that I remembered was a Bible verse. 1 Corinthians
16:9.
I said, Martha, and she said, you were asleep a long time. I said, I had an impacting dream. But the problem is that I don't remember it. I just remember a scripture. So Martha, what does it say? And here when we see that Paul expressed, he said, a big and effective door has opened before me, and many are the adversaries. And I felt God was speaking to me. And to me, this door is represented today. It was to come into Australia. I got the visa. And the door opened.
Maria,
I'm here to serve.
Hallelujah.
You have a great building here. Praise God, I've heard some of the testimony of how it's been done. I know that even losing your pastor, the Bible says that when the pastor is, or the shepherd is hurt, then the sheep many times scatter. But I know that our sister has taken the place, even of her husband and herself. And she needs great prayer from the church. But I really believe she's going to rise up a church, a generation. I even believe, someone's here that she's going to pass the baton on to.
Pero siento en el Señor que va a haber un movimiento grande.
But I believe the Lord's going to really do a movement here.
Estaba hablando del reto 11-11.
Yesterday I was sharing about the 11-11 challenge.
En la iglesia cristiana en todo el mundo,
knowing that there's a phenomenon in the church around the world. But they say it's the 80-20 principle. And in this phenomenon, we see that there's 20% of the people in the church are doing what 80% should be doing. But in the Muslims, we see maybe 80% are radical. And they have a greater index. Because the church has been slumbering. But in this year, 2018, it's a year of wake up.
Es un año de gran cosecha.
It's a year of great harvest.
Es un año de fruto.
It's a year of fruit.
Es un año de extender nuestras áreas.
It's a year to extend our stakes.
Y quiero hablar sobre esto.
And I want to speak about this.
Estuve hablando ayer.
I was sharing yesterday. Our sister was there.
Hablé el reto 11-11.
And I challenged with the 11-11 challenge.
Corinthians 11-1.
According to 1 Corinthians 11-1, we say 4 ones.
Yo le llamo 11-11.
And so I said 11-11.
Okay,
1 Corinthians
capítulo 11,
chapter 11, verse 1.
4 unos por
caso. So there's 4 ones there.
Cada vez que usted mire su reloj,
so every time you look at your watch,
acuérdate del reto 11-11.
And you see 11-11, you remember the challenge.
En México hay una costumbre.
In Mexico, there's a custom.
Ellos piensan, los mexicanos sienten que cuando tú miras el reloj y marca 11-11.
Mexicans think when you look at a clock and you see 11-11,
se pide un deseo.
That you can ask for a wish.
Si tú estás manejando y miras el reloj y es 11-11.
If you're driving along and you see the clock, 11-11. Ask for a wish.
Y Dios a través de eso me dio esa visión.
But through God, God gave me a vision of the challenge of 11-11. So I was sharing.
Y solamente va a ser una introducción.
And this is just as introduction.
Yo hablé ayer de cuatro cosas que Cristo hizo.
Of that which I shared yesterday, what Jesus did.
Sabemos que Jesús dice en la Biblia que predicaba, enseñaba, sanaba, echaba fuera demonios y establecía el reino de Dios.
We know that the Bible shows that Jesus taught, he preached, he healed, he cast out demons, and he established the kingdom of God.
Y vemos el ministerio de Jesús muy completo.
We see a very complete ministry that
y yo
Jesus
creo que la iglesia took se va a levantar en ese nivel.
And I believe that God wants to raise up his church
vamos
in that same level.
A predicar,
we're going to begin to preach,
a enseñar,
to teach,
a sanar,
to heal,
sacar fuera demonios,
cast out devils,
y establecer el reino
and establish the kingdom of God.
Es el año del establecimiento del reino.
It's the year of establishing the
es
kingdom of God.
De que los ministerios van a empezar a salir.
It's time that ministry should be surfacing.
Yo veo una visión en esta congregación.
I have a vision in this congregation.
Lo que el pastor o la pastora estuvieron haciendo a través de los años.
Even when the pastor and her husband began over the years.
Estaban enseñando así como las palomitas que le dan vuelta.
They've kind of been like popcorn when you just begin to heat it up.
A veces el maíz se le pone aceite.
You know, you put the corn in and put in the oil.
Y buen rato.
And you give it around a little while. That's how I have my machine at home. But I love it when it starts going pop, 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 pop. And the corn is popping. Brother, sister, I see this in this church. When the worship team was singing, precious worship. And bilingual, I love it.
Wow, then an applause al Señor.
We praise the Lord for it.
Es un estéreo lindo.
It's a beautiful team.
Entraron a la presencia de Dios muy rápido.
And came right quickly into the presence of the Lord.
Eso me agrada.
I like that.
Eso va a suceder.
But this is what's going to happen.
Los siervos trabajaron en los años,
even what these servants have worked for years, you're going to begin to see the ministries pop
una de las
out.
Cosas que suceden en los cristianos,
one of the things that happens among Christians
que nos cae el 20.
Is that suddenly we get it.
Nosotros estamos pastoreando una iglesia.
We're pastoring a church of about 300 people. But when it's getting towards 400, I take one of my disciples, take maybe 20, 25 people, maybe 15 families, say, okay, it's time to go plant a church. I like to have a church of 300, that's good.
That,
That's what the way I like to work with my pastorate. Personally, I'm not for a big mega church. I believe God didn't call me to. But we've planted several churches around the city. And we've hit the city with it. Some of our spiritual sons have bigger churches. One of our spiritual sons is having a church for 1,500. He lived in our home. One time when I was a youth pastor, I was leaving home with my guitar, and the Spirit told me, go invite that young person next door. He was just there, not talking to anybody. I said, hey, I want to invite you to the youth group with me. Come on, you'll like it. He came with me. He became a Christian in that meeting. He lived in our house for a couple years. And now the Lord is using him powerfully as a pastor. And he's raising up this church for 1,500, 2,000. And that's from the obedience of one invitation. I want to talk to you about the power of invitation. And this is something that's powerful that each one of us must do. The church is filled in many ways. God has baits that he gives. When I go to fish, I have a certain bait for a certain fish. Jesus has a special bait to harvest men, bring in that great harvest. And the bait is the church. The church is the bait. So he's going to send you. You know how they reel it in? And that's what God wants to do this year. Each one of you is bait in God's hands.
Amen.
Amen.
Gloria a Dios. Vamos a abrir nuestra Biblia.
Let's open our Bibles.
Esto fue solamente una introducción.
That was just an introduction.
El reto 11 significa eso.
The challenge, the 11-11 challenge says this.
Hagan un amigo este año.
Make a new friend this year.
El que quiere tener amigo, muéstrese amigo.
If you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. When my wife and I began in ministry, we were newlyweds, and we wanted to do something different. The pastor, you know, was discipling us and preparing us. But we said, what are we going to do? And God put in our minds a list, and we invited from that list 10 people. And we invited those people to our house for a cookout. I had meat there on the grill like the Argentinians, you know, great meat. Who's going to deny an invitation to go for a meal like that? But the Bible says that we should be innocent as doves, meek as sheep, but wise as serpents. And this is what God wants to give us. God wants to give us a wisdom to be astute, even as a serpent. The serpent is astute. That's the way he gets his prey. God is going to give you strategies. Even as he gave to us, we did our barbecue. Once everybody was eating, they were happy. You know, Mexico says, with your stomach full, your happy heart. So my guests were happy, and I began to talk to them about the joy of the Lord. Why had I invited them? I taught them about the pearl of great price, that I had found that pearl, and he was Jesus. They were impacted. I told them every Friday night, we're going to have a meal here at my home. I don't want you just to be my co-workers. I want you to be my friends. And they broke in the Lord there. We had a wonderful evening. And then every Friday, everyone was expecting that time together. After 2 months and a half, discipling them, they came to the Lord, my 10 co-workers. So now I had 10 disciples in the bank. I said, hey, Martha, why don't we do this again? So we did it again. And the Lord gave us a list. I put some, put the same on the list. The same thing happened again. Now we had 20 disciples. We did the same thing. Then we taught them to do the same thing. And that's how the church grew.
Amen.
Amen.
Matthew 28:19
says that we should make disciples. That's another challenge. This year, not only should you make a friend, make a disciple. Third challenge, win a soul. Go for a soul that's lost. You have the whole year to do it. Might be your coworker. Might be someone in your family. Might be your neighbor. But tell him, Lord, what do you want? And the fourth challenge is to restore someone that's fallen. That they can come home. Some Christian that has been disappointed. And the 11:11 challenge says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's what Jesus did. Jesus made friends. He said, you'll no longer be my servants, but my friends. Jesus saved many. Because that's what he came. He said, I came to save that which was lost. Jesus made disciples. He started with 12. He went to 70. Then 120. And now there's disciples, they took the world. Jesus went for those that had been lost. And he brought them home. That's the 11:11 challenge. You're going to remember that. Every time you see the clock that says 11:11, do you remember, oh, that's the challenge God gave us this year.
Amen.
Amen. Now we'll start a message. They told me here, we went a long time. So if you're hungry, I like this people. When I go to the United States, I don't want to offend any Americans here. Maybe my wife's the only one. They're looking at their watches, you know. They begin to kind of tap their feet like, hurry up. I don't see that here. I feel as if I was in Mexico. That Latin heart. God bless the Latins.
Hallelujah.
There's a parable with which I want to encourage you today. I want to give a strategy of how we should evangelize and who we should evangelize. Because the Bible is full of secrets. But it's been revealed to his children. Revealed to his servants. To the church. Let's read in the Gospel of Luke 14:10.
Lucas, capítulo 14, versículo 15.
Oh, I'm sorry, 14:15.
Si le pueden poner ahí el versículo, será muy malo, pero viene muy bien.
If I see the verse there, that would be great.
Gloria a Dios. Y dice así, oyendo esto uno de sus, de los que estaban sentados con él a la mesa, les dijo, bienaventurado aquel que come pan en el reino de Dios.
And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.
Jesús estaba compartiendo, sin duda.
Jesus was here sharing, without a doubt.
Y algo, un hombre emocionado, entusiasmado.
And there were some that were excited.
Porque esto es lo que hace la palabra de Dios.
Because that's what the word of God does.
Envuelve nuestro corazón.
It wraps around
abre
our hearts. It makes our heart burn. The Bible says that when Jesus was walking in the road to Emmaus, he came across two men that were going to Emmaus. He was explaining the scriptures. Even as when you come here every Sunday, and the scriptures are explained, and the word and the promises of God are spoken, the word of the kingdom, one of the things that happens is that your heart begins to burn.
Estos hombres que caminaban a Emaús,
and these men that were going to Emmaus, when they had an encounter with Jesus and sat at the table with him, it says when they sat at the table, their eyes were open. And so is the relationship with the Lord. When you read the word, or when you receive a word from the Lord, one of the things that happens is that our eyes are opened. We say, even on that way to Emmaus, their eyes were opened, and wow, and Jesus disappeared. But they expressed, what didn't our heart burn within us? Who has felt that here? That when the scriptures are being given, your heart burns within you. Saying, this word is for me. It's not for my mother-in-law. Not for my wife. It's for me. This is important. Every word. It should be first for ourselves. That God speak to our heart. So in this story in the gospel, without a doubt, Jesus was here teaching the word. And the man was enthusiastic. Blessed is the man that eats bread at the table with you. He was excited. He had been touched. But the Lord tested him.
Cada palabra va a ser probada.
Every word will be tested.
Más abajo dice, vamos a ir más abajo.
Further on down, we'll see.
Y empieza a enseñar una palabra en el 16.
In verse 16, he begins to teach a parable.
Wow. Entonces Jesús les dijo, un hombre hizo una gran cena y convidó a muchos. 17.
Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many.
Y a la hora de la cena envió a sus siervos a decir a los convidados, venid, que ya todo está preparado.
And sent his servant at supper. Then they were bidden, come, for all things are now ready.
18. Y todos a una comenzaron a excusarse. El primero dijo, he comprado una hacienda, necesito ir a verla. Te ruego que me excuses.
And he sent the servant at supper time to say that they were bidden, come to all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray that you have me excused.
El otro dijo, he comprado 5 yuntas de bueyes, voy a probarlo, te ruego que me excuses.
Another said, I have bought the yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused.
Y otro dijo, acabo de casarme, por tanto, no puedo ir.
And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.
Cuando yo empezaba a leer eso,
when I began to read this,
yo dije, Señor, ¿qué representa la hacienda?
I said, Lord, what does this represent? What does the land represent? What about the yoke of oxen?
Y el mamá dijo que te acaba de casar.
And especially this guy that just got married.
¿Qué significa eso?
What does this mean?
Y Jesús, en entusiasmo, Jesús fue una prueba.
And as this expression was given to Jesus, he said, a test before this. A lot of times we have committed to the Lord to do something. But when the time really comes, we begin to slack. And one of the things that Jesus was teaching to his disciples and the multitude also that was listening, he said that he's blessed, doubly happy, he that is participating in the kingdom. In the kingdom of God, there's a precious law. We see that sowing and reaping. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you experience giving of yourself, is when growth comes. When revelation comes. That's when more comes of what God wants to give you. The man here said, blessed is the man that eats with you. But Jesus begins to explain that there are many things that are real and genuine in life. This piece of land represents what you have, what you make in this world. This talks about your patrimony, what maybe makes sense in this life, in this world. But Jesus said these were excuses. I said, well, that's what I'm going to inherit to my kids, right? It's something that's genuine. But Jesus said it was an excuse. Ooh, ay, ay, ay. That hurts. And then he says, the next one says, sir, please excuse me. I can't go because I just bought some oxen. What does the yoke of oxen represent? It represents what you do. What do you dedicate your life to? I've tried to disciple many. And especially business people. They say, oh no, I come on Sunday. I don't have time for more. Jesus said that's an excuse. And Jesus is talking even to the church today that this year is not a year for excuses. Because God is speaking directly. One time a brother, a businessman, he said to me, Pastor, I think you were giving that pretty indirect to me. I said, you know what? Let me tell you something. The word of God is not indirect. The word of God is direct.
Amen.
Amen.
Así es.
That's the way it is.
Yo sé que a los tibios,
I think I know the warm people.
A los que están en la carne,
those that are a little in the flesh.
A los que están siendo distraídos por tantas cosas,
or people that are being distracted with many
nos
things.
Incomoda,
it gets us uncomfortable.
Y eso sucede mucho en México.
And that happens a lot in Mexico.
El otro dijo, Señor, me acabo de casar.
The other one said, I just got married.
No puedo ir.
I can't go.
Wow.
Wow. I just got married. What does that represent? Who you are. In other words, what you have, what you do, and who you are, God is calling all of it. You can't put any of it as excuse. If you can't come Wednesday for discipleship because you have a job, you have to be responsible there. But come to the pastor with my sister. Sister, what can I do? Because I don't want to miss out on the blessing. That attitude speaks 1,000 words. Amen? It's a year of great harvest. So God is making an invitation.
Una invitación a la responsabilidad.
An invitation to responsibility.
Dios quiere que seamos responsables lo que hemos tenido.
God wants us to be responsible in what he's given to us.
Aquí dice la Biblia que hizo una gran mesa y invitó a muchos.
Here the Bible says he made a great banquet and invited many.
Cuando tú haces una fiesta,
When you plan a party, who do you invite? Obviously, you invite your family, your friends, maybe co-workers. I remember when I was little. I'll never forget when I was 8. My father was in a different country
because
he was building cotton factories. He was a prominent engineer doing the cotton factories. They were preparing to do the packing and the cotton gin. So I remember my dad wasn't home on my birthday. My dad was always very generous. He turned everything upside down on a birthday. And I thought, oh, my dad's not home. But I remember my mom said, don't worry. She made a cake. She got ice cream. And she made some Jell-O. And she said, here, son, I've got ready for your birthday. I was excited. But I didn't want to eat it all myself. I remember I opened the window in my house. And I did that because I can't. I called it all, hey! I started inviting my friends. My mom made a cake. I've got Jell-O. I've got ice cream. Come on over. And even those that weren't my friends, they came. I filled the house. I was all excited. I didn't even miss my dad that time. When you're enthusiastic and excited, when you give an invitation, that's the first level. You just came to the Lord. go and preach to your own.
Jesus
said, go to your own, to your family, and preach to them. And they would speak of Jesus. So the first level of invitation is when you invite out of the joy and celebration in your heart. You're going to invite others to the banquet table of the Lord, because this is where we eat at the banquet table of the Lord. But the first level of invitation is because of the joy that you have. You're enthusiastic because the Lord is in your heart. Many Christians have lost the joy of the Lord. And for many, Christianity has fallen into tradition. But God wants you to come back to the joy of your salvation. Further along, we see the second level of invitation. In verse 21, it says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things.
Entonces enojado el padre de familia dio a su siervo, ve pronto por las plazas, las calles de la ciudad, trae aquí a los pobres, a los mancos, a los cojos y a los ciegos. Y dijo el siervo, Señor, se ha hecho como mandaste.
So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.
Ahorita en nuestra congregación tenemos mucha gente que se acaba de convertir a Cristo.
Right now in our congregation at home, we have a lot of people that have just come to the Lord.
Y sabe que son mis mejores evangelistas.
And you know what? They're the best evangelists. These people don't be quiet. They bring in their grandma. They bring in their friends. They bring in their neighbor. They come. They're the first people to come. The last ones to leave. It's a phenomenon when you have new believers. I love to see when people get Christians. They come, they want to be in the first row. They want to hear the word. Because they're full of joy. But then the Lord gives a second level of invitation. He's talking about going from your joy now that you also are moved because of compassion and burden for others. Who are the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind? Those are the needy. Who are those that have lost their way, their lane? The blind, they don't have a vision for the kingdom. It's talking about the needy. We as Christians must have a vision of the kingdom. And we must see the need of the people that are suffering around us. Might be a coworker that's suffering through divorce. Maybe a friend of yours has lost his job. Maybe someone you know that's an addict or an alcoholic. God wants you to have a vision that it's not just out of joy, but also now for the needs. The Lord said, go and invite the blind and the lame and the maimed so they will come into my house. That compassion comes out of the Lord's heart. When it says in the Bible that Jesus went up on the hill and looked over Jerusalem, he expressed in compassion, Jerusalem, you that killed the prophets. How many times I wanted to gather, even as the hen her chicks. So I also you. But you didn't want it. The Lord says, he wept. He wept over Jerusalem. Do you weep for your coworkers? Do you weep for your family? Do you weep for your neighbors? You gotta weep. You need to have the compassion of the Lord. These chairs will be filled when you really have the joy of the Lord and when you have compassion on them, those that have need. And the third level. This is the third level of evangelism. This is the highest level. I'm going to tell you why. It says this.
Entonces, en el 22, y dijo el siervo a su señor,
verse 22,
y es como mandarse a un lugar. En el 23, dijo el señor al siervo, ve por los caminos, por los vallados, y fuérzalos a entrar para que lleguen a mi casa.
22 and 23, and the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Dijo el, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.
Dice, hay todo el lugar y el cielo se ha. Dice, dijo, ve por los caminos y por los vallados. Y la palabra es la palabra.
He said, go into the highways and the hedges and force them to come in.
Wow.
Wow.
¿Qué es forzar entrar?
What does it mean to force them to come in?
No está agarrando, o está diciendo, agarrando.
He's not saying that you're going to come and twist their arm and bring them in.
Pero esto habla de autoridad espiritual.
But he's talking about spiritual authority.
La autoridad espiritual la que Jesús tenía.
Because Jesus moved in spiritual authority. Many times Jesus said, come, follow me.
Era un impacto que él hacía donde él pasaba.
And this was an impact that he made wherever he went.
Y esto es algo poderoso,
and this is something that's powerful, brethren.
Cuando yo voy a la gasolinera,
when I go to a gas station,
quiero dar un ejemplo,
this is just an example.
Y está cargando mi carro.
Maybe they're putting gas in my car.
Dios me dio don de ciencia, tengo algo profético.
The Lord gave me a word of knowledge and prophetic.
Le dije, hombre, quiero orar por ti.
Sometimes I've said, man, I want to pray for you.
Pero los ojos abiertos, no te pego, no te puedo poner ahora.
You can keep putting the gas on, you know, no problem.
Está pasando por un problema.
I see you're going through a problem.
Sé que tu esposa te ha abandonado.
Your wife even has left you.
Pero Dios dice,
but God says this.
El hombre, cargando,
the man's there putting the gas in and begins to cry.
Empieza a quebrantarse.
He began to break.
Me fascina cuando Dios les habla
directamente. I love it when the Lord speaks just directly.
Y le doy la esperanza que hay en Cristo.
And they receive the hope that is in Christ.
Esas personas, cuando tú los invitas, van corriendo.
When you invite those people, they come in.
Eso es forzarse.
That's to force them in.
Porque ya no uso los dones solamente adentro.
Because it's not just about using the gifts of the Spirit inside the church.
Aquí es donde se ejercen los dones.
Here's where we exercise the gifts.
Pero los dones deben estar usados afuera.
But we should be using the gifts outside.
Es donde el reino de Dios sufre violencia.
That's where the kingdom of God is suffering violence.
Eso es lo que hago. A veces toco la puerta.
Sometimes I knock on a door.
Muy buenas tardes, vecino, yo estoy aquí.
Good afternoon, neighbor, I'm here.
Quisiera hacer una oración por ustedes.
I'd like to pray for you.
Y empiezo a orar.
And I begin to pray.
Y empiezo a mostrar cosas que suceden en la casa.
And the Lord begins to show me things even happen in their house, and I begin to clear them, and the family's all weeping, and I begin to pray for them. I want you to visit us on Sunday.
Yeah,
okay, we'll be there. God wants to take us to another level, that you begin to use the gifts outside. So there are people that are newly born in the Lord. They pray for everyone. I remember a brother that was newly born in the Lord. He would pray for the seas and the fish and for everyone around. And then he really made me laugh. And God, please forgive the devil. He doesn't know what he does. He even prayed for the devil. Said, brethren, that's not our prayer. That's a prayer that God's not hearing. But I saw that man's heart. He just loved so much he thought he was going to love the devil. But that's how newly born are. New Christians, they're just full of joy. I love to see them. They're the first ones to give. The first ones to raise their hand. They're the first ones to come to church. And they bring more people to church. Then we see this happen. Let's bring new people. And new people will take care of filling this place. When you as a Christian have walked with the Lord for a while, God's going to put a vision in your heart. How you can impact a society. Remember when we talk about the kingdom of God, we say that your kingdom come as in heaven, you'll see on earth. God wants us to bring heaven to earth.
Así que Dios quiere enseñarnos.
So he wants to teach us
que tenga visión del reino.
That we have a vision of the kingdom.
Está bien que estemos todos los latinos aquí.
It's fine to have all Latins here.
Bueno, vamos a pegarle primero a los latinos.
So let's go after the Latins.
Pero si a través de un chino,
but if there's a Chinaman that comes across your path, we'll invite him over too.
Pero
Chinese
no,
food after church.
Lo curioso, de este lugar, la ciudad,
but the interesting place of this city, Melbourne,
he visto más extranjeros de todo lado del mundo que australianos.
It seems to me I see more people from all over the world than I see Australians.
Hermano, este lugar está preparado.
This place is prepared
para que sea una iglesia mundial.
To be a world-class church.
En el nombre del Señor.
In the name of Jesus.
Van a venir muchos latinos.
There's going to be a lot of Latins to
los
come.
Latinos siempre queremos estar juntos.
And in Latins, we always want to be together.
Los latinos,
we love to be our,
así
us.
Somos latinos.
That's how we are.
Mi esposa tiene algo que no me gusta.
My wife has something that I don't like.
Tenemos seis hijos.
We have six children.
Ella los prepara de los 7 años. Se van a ir de la casa.
And she's,
se van a ir a la universidad.
She's preparing them from the time they're 7-8 years old. When you get 18, you're going to go away to school. You know you're going to leave.
Los latinos quieren tener a un bigotón.
I say, Martha, don't do that. We want the kids to be there even when they've got their mustache to here and they're getting old. That's the American way. When she says when they're 17, they start to stink. And to us, it's sweet incense that they're even 30 and they're at home. That's Latins. God bless the Latins. God bless them. All that speak Spanish, amen.
Quiero animarlos, hermanos.
But I want to encourage you.
Que hagan este reto.
Take this challenge.
Vaya por un amigo.
Go for a friend.
Hagan un amigo.
Make a friend.
Yo estaba diciendo ayer una anécdota de Abraham Lincoln.
Yesterday I shared a little story about Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln fue el mejor presidente.
Abraham Lincoln was one of the best presidents I admired of the U.S. He was a believer and he believed in the gospel.
He was
known for his integrity. He suffered greatly when he came into office. His enemies in politics were trying to put him in jail. And when he came into power, he was treating his enemies well, even inviting them for a meal. In the cabinet that was around him, they said, Abraham, why are you treating them well? You now are in power. Destroy your enemies. They were against us. But Abraham said something very serious. He said, I destroy my enemies, making them my friends.
Wow. Los cristianos debemos pensar así.
We as Christians should think like that.
Así, el evangelio es tan fuerte, el amor de Dios,
the gospel and the love of God is so strong
que te hace tener amigos,
that it makes us have friends.
El que quiere tener amigos,
he that wants to have friends,
muéstrese amigo.
Show himself friendly.
Amen. Y dice la Biblia que el amigo muchas veces te va a sacar más de apuro que un hermano.
And the Bible says that sometimes friends are going to be closer even than a brother. I can count more on some of the brethren in the church more even than my seven brothers and sisters. Because God's love is powerful. I believe in the Lord's love. I believe in the power of the gospel. I believe in the kingdom vision. Brethren, the Lord has given us the pearl of great price. Practice this, brethren. Give out the seed. Do the work of evangelism. Fulfill the ministry of the Lord. God wants to wrap this whole church up in kingdom thoughts. So do it out of joy in the Lord. If you've lost your joy, then say, God, give me back the joy of my salvation, that it would keep me, even as David prayed. Then when you have joy, you begin to have burden for the lost. People have asked me, how do you do it to go out and preach? I don't do anything. I just have the burden of the Lord. There's not a secret for that. The pastor that discipled me in the beginning, he planted churches around the world. He said, don't love being in a pulpit. Love the lost souls. Love the work of the Lord. And that will give us enough pulpit.
Hermanos,
brethren,
estoy aquí.
I am here.
desde México.
From Mexico.
Se me abrió esta puerta.
This door was opened
para hablar a sus vidas.
To speak into your lives.
Los amo.
I love you.
No los conozco.
I haven't known you.
Siento un buen espíritu.
But I feel a great spirit.
Esta iglesia ha pasado por prueba.
I know this church has gone through testing.
Pero esta iglesia se va a levantar como nunca.
But this church is going to arise like never before.
Porque lo que sembraron es los siervos.
Because even as the servant sown here,
serán como las palomitas.
It's going to be like that popcorn. It's going to begin to pop and bear fruit.
Quiero terminar con esto.
I want to finish with this.
En el libro creo que está en Lucas 2:41.
In the scripture, I believe it's in Luke 2:41.
Hay un relato en la vida de Jesús.
In the life of Jesus, it says this.
La escritura en Lucas 2:41.
In Luke 2:41.
Con esto voy a terminar.
With this, I'll end.
Lucas capítulo 2, versículo 41.
Luke 2:41 and on.
Hay una historia que muy poco se habla de la juventud de Jesús.
There's a story we see here in the little bit that the scripture talks about Jesus' youth.
Iban sus padres todos los años a Jerusalén.
His parents went every year to Jerusalem and to the feast of Passover.
En el 2, cuando tuvo 12 años, subieron a Jerusalén conforme a la costumbre de la fiesta.
And we see that in this time when he was 12 years old, he went up with his parents as it was the custom. And when they came back, the child Jesus stayed behind. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance.
Pero como no lo hallaron, volvieron a Jerusalén buscándole.
And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him.
Y aconteció que, después de 3 días después, hallaron en el templo sentado al medio de los doctores de la ley, oyéndoles y preguntándoles.
And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions.
Todos que le oían se maravillaban de su inteligencia y de sus respuestas.
And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers.
Cuando lo vieron, se sorprendieron y les dijo su madre, hijo.
And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son,
¿por qué nos has hecho esto?
Why hast thou dealt with us thus this way?
Y aquí tu padre y yo te hemos buscado con angustia.
Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. But you know what the Lord answered? He said, how is it that you sought me? Don't you know that I must be about my father's business? The Bible says that Mary kept all these things in her heart. Martha and I had a bad experience with our first daughter. She was just about 2 years, just starting to really walk. And I'll never forget that moment of anguish. We were in one of the biggest Walmarts in the States. At least that's what it seemed to me in my anguish. And my daughter used to play a game with me. She liked to play hide and seek, but didn't let me know. You can imagine. I was there with Martha. And I said, Martha, where's our daughter? Didn't you have her? No, I don't have her. She was 2 years old. You know, you hear the things about kidnapping and the kid snatching. The worst, most painful thoughts came to my mind. I started looking for my daughter.
Ruth!
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 Ya no quiero jugar, Ruth, ¿dónde estás?
I'm not playing anymore, where are you?
Ruth!
We were yelling everywhere. That the workers came around, what's going on? I said, my daughter's been snatched. Where? She's snatched. Close the doors. I was running over to see
anyone.
I want to be outside the door and see everyone that was coming out. I was looking at him and looking in the baskets. Everyone was suspicious. I want to tell you this, because this is what happened. After a half hour that we wouldn't find her, I was in Walmart. Martha, did you find her? My daughter suddenly jumped out between us. And she said, ta-da, Dad!
José.
Brethren, I was not Joseph and Mary.
María le reclamó, Jesús, ¿por qué nos
Mary said, Jesus, why did you do this to us?
Fíjate que Jesús cómo responde.
And how Jesus answered.
Si la Sarai, digo, si la Ruthie me hubiera contestado eso.
If Ruthie would have said that to me,
yo no me sostengo, le doy una cachetada.
I think I would have given her a good slap across the face.
Era tanto el coraje, pero a la vez la felicidad.
The anguish and the happiness was all mixed up in that moment. I wanted to take her ear and it probably would end up like Spock. But as a Latin you say, God help me, help me, help me. Jesus said, why were you looking for me? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? That's where I should be. Jesus was seeing the call to his responsibility. And I wanted to tell the church, you want a revival? You want to fill this place? God calls you to responsibility. God calls you to give the extra. God's going to stretch you. And God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. Because this place was designed. The Bible says that the house is for the children. So there's going to be children from many places. Sometimes they're not going to be Latins. They're going to come from different places. They're welcome. The house is for the children. Stand up, please. I'm going to ask for the worship to be here to minister. But I want to pray for each one of you. Raise your hands up to the Lord. Praise God. If this word, if you've been challenged by it, raise your hands to the Lord. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, put this desire to walk in the call of responsibility. We see in the Gospels that when Andrew had an encounter with you, the first thing he did was to go find his brother Simon and bring him before you. Andrew felt the responsibility. Heavenly Father, I pray that they would walk in revival through this spark. Each Christian in this place, that you will use them powerfully, Lord, that they would be fruitful, that they would begin to have spiritual children, that they would begin to have disciples. God, use them in your gospel. I bless my brethren. I bless the pastor. I bless the work that they have done, that it will not be in vain, that even as she's walked in her husband's place, Lord, that you would bring rest to her, knowing that he is in a better place. I ask in the name of Jesus, impartation to my sister. Give her a grace. Lord, that when she preaches, even the team that will preach in this place, that there will be divine healing, that there will be supernatural signs, and the gospel will impact the hearts of each one. We ask in the name of Jesus. Raise your hands. Say amen, Lord. Let it be. I give you this word, Lord. In your name.
Dale un aplauso al Señor.
Que
Dios lo bendiga,
hermano.
Gracias por tener la confianza, hermano. Dios lo bendiga, el grupo de alabanza. Mi hermana, tomen.